Welcome to the RA Podcast. I'm your host, Shootsy, and today I am joined by a very special guest. Please, you guys, give a warm welcome to our guest, Chard Monk.
What's going on, everybody? How we doing?
Chard Monk, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. So I have prepared some questions for you. We've got a lot to talk about, but before we dive into my questions here, I did want to give you and the crew over at BCTV podcast a huge shout out. So that's you, Bud Cave, Captain Dark, and That Family Games for the work that you guys are doing. For our listeners, I'll include a link in the description to their podcast as well. If you like the RA podcast, I think you'll definitely like the BCTV podcast as well. They're doing an awesome job. Also a newer podcast that's got started recently. So you guys should definitely go check them out. I just, you know, Chard, before we do get started here, like I said, off the air, you guys have such a great dialogue, and some of the stories that you guys tell on the podcast are just so relatable, as well as some of the memories that you guys have. So I am a weekly listener of the BCTV podcast, and just like I said, I appreciate the good work that you guys are doing so much. It's awesome to have a similar podcast that's like-minded and definitely doing things the right way. So I appreciate that.
I appreciate that, man. That's some high praise coming from the Retro Achievements podcast. We're just infancy. I mean, we're still trying to kick our way through the swamp and the desert to figure out, you know, what the best flow and everything is too. But I'd also like to add a shout out to our moderators of Gal416, Lee Clips, and MTG Solid. Those guys do a lot of things behind the scenes and in the chat box when we're doing our podcast, because it's all done live. And we don't really, we try not to interact with the chat box while we're doing it, because it's a weird, I don't want to say disconnect, but it's like we're talking amongst ourselves, and then those three talk amongst the people on the chat, and they keep things rolling, and they're just as part of it as the four of us are. So I got to give love to those guys too.
For sure. And I mean, whatever you guys are doing, the team that you do have, they're obviously working very hard on that. The production quality is really high, and it always just feels like, you know, you guys are having just a very natural dialogue and some really great conversations that get dusted up. So it's always really fun to listen to and to watch that every week. It's interactive as well. Like you said, it's live. So something we've always thought about doing is maybe live podcasting at some point, but we are also a podcast in its infancy on our own. I mean, this is only like our 20th episode or something like that. So we've definitely got some work on our end to do, but anyway, a big shout out to you guys and the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
On that.
Thank you very much.
Sure. So, go ahead.
Oh, I was sorry. Keep going. You're good.
No worries. So anyway, I'll dive right into our questions here, starting off with talking a little bit about your history and how you got into Retro Achievements. That's what we always like to start, is kind of just getting a sense of what got you into Retro Achievements. So, because it seems like, you know, everybody always has an interesting story about how they got started with it. So tell us, Chard, how did you get started with Retro Achievements? How did you discover it?
I've listened to the RA podcast a lot, and this man's name has been dropped on numerous occasions. We all know the number one in all of RA, Max Million, Game Squad. I met Max when I was invited to do some charity work with some other retro streamers. And he was doing his Retro Achievement stuff, and I just get drawn in by watching him play and play all these crazy Roll Chan hacks and, you know, doing Buster Runs on Mega Man and a bunch of games that I grew up playing and having this new challenge set forth. I was never big on achievements on like Xbox or, you know, PlayStation 4, unless I really, really, really liked the game. I think the first game I 200%ed, quote unquote, on Xbox was Dead Space. And it's one of the few games I've actually played from start to finish, like three times through, because I loved it so much. But I never thought to chase achievements, never thought that was a big thing. And I watched Max do it. And then I watched Frank Pulse XP he started getting into it like earlier on too. And I met him through the same group of people. And then Frank and I mean, Max kind of was like, you should do all these RPGs that you're playing on your stream. You should achieve those. And I was like, eh, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready for that kind of a challenge, you know? So then, and Frank is a lot less, he's more pushy. I think about it. He's like, come on, man, you could do it. You can, you go get it. Go get it. You could do it, you know? And I hemmed and hawed and I decided, you know what, let's just, let's let the team decide or the chat decide what we should do. And I put it up on a select a game for me kind of spinning wheel, you know, Frank does the same thing. And, I decided to use my channel points cause they had just kind of recently introduced it at the time. You know, when, if someone's going to pick a game for me to do RA, then I'll do it. I'll take that challenge. And, we spun it and someone selected Symphony of the Night. And I had never played Symphony of the Night before at that time. And I was like, okay, let's play Symphony of the Night. They're like, no, we want you to 200% it. And I went, okay, that's right. We'll give this a shot. And then everyone, including Max, Frank, Sarconius, who I love as well, were like, man, that's a big piece of meat to bite off on your first run at RA. And I went, you know, I'll get as far as I can get on it. And the more people were like, man, that's a big set. Good luck. The more I wanted to do it and the more drive I got into doing it. So it was like, I was losing my mind trying to get these things, but the challenge had been thrown at me. So now I have to prove everybody that I can do this. And from that, playing Symphony of the Night, 200%ing it for the first time has spanned into this, this hellscape of all these RA games we decided to start playing and start doing. And I've fallen in love with retro achievements. I'm playing a game now. I'm not doing achievements for it because it doesn't have a set. And it's really weird. It's really weird to not be chasing achievements on a Friday and a Sunday like I usually do.
Yeah, no, I definitely get it. You know, it's like once you start earning achievements in games, you're like, you just want everything to have achievements, you know, even if it's something that doesn't have a set yet.
It's a drug. It is addictive. I mean, it really is. And we tell everybody that hymns and haws about it. They're like, if you start, man, God help you. you're going to be looking for all kinds of games that have achievements that you would have never thought to do. And it's fun. And it puts a whole new spin on games I grew up playing. You know, it just makes it so much more fun, in my opinion. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's funny that, you know, it's just like how you mentioned that, you know, you started with Symphony in the Night and it just, that kind of sealed the deal. And just having that one set, you know, get you kind of drawn into things. I mean, I had a similar experience when I got started. Mm-hmm. About 4 years ago, just had the one achievement pop up. I was like, this is awesome. Because realistically, I think my whole life, I've really only enjoyed retro. I'm one of those people that, you know, I play a modern game here and there, but it's really, really hard for me to get into them. And so retro achievements has been this like, just this ultimate thing that I've spent a lot of time doing, because I don't really enjoy much else outside of retro achievements. And you can, you know, interpret that however you want, but it's just like one thing that people always joke when they used to come in my stream is they used to say, well, at least when you had a, you know, retro game, you got the whole thing when you bought it. Versus, you know, nowadays when you buy a game, there's like multiplayer is like DLC that costs money and things like that. So there's just this appeal of, you know, as the I mean, there's the wonkiness of retro games and all of the old mechanics and bugs and things like that. But at the end of the day, there's just so much enjoyable content in the form of achievements for them that I think retro achievements has just got this great unique aspect that you can't find anywhere else as far as the appeal of it's concerned.
Yeah.
And that's what I was going to ask you is, you know, what would you say the main appeal of retro achievements is for you?
Just putting a different spin on things that I've grown up playing or finding new things about a game that I didn't know. I'm a bizarre RA player. I play a lot of games that I've never played before, and I chase achievements on them. Just I don't know why we do that. Maybe because I'm like, you know what? If I'm going to be the best at this game, I'm going to do the whole thing. And if I'm going to do it first time blind, which honestly, I get my hand held a lot by a lot of my mods, so I can't always say that it's totally blind, but I want to go all the way in, or I don't want to go in at all kind of thing. So I'm the RPG RA guy. I don't play a lot of stuff outside of RA, outside of the RPG thing, just because it's part of my channel, but also I think I can take it a little bit slower and I can think about things a little bit better and then study like what I'm doing in the RA grind. So it's a little bit better for me. A lot of people find that to be too slow for them, but I kind of like slowing it down. And then also that helps me interact with chat and just getting, you know, seeing that 200% of whatever game that we finished after a couple weeks, depending on how long the set is. It's just this like, you get to puff out your chest a little bit, you know. It's just I get to brag about this game that I played, and by the way, I did everything you could possibly do in it, so you know I'm pretty good at it. Be a total jerk about it to other people that have never played it before.
It just
gives you that feeling of like, well, yeah, you have, I don't see you having that badge, and you're like, don't. It's not a competition, man. just play the game.
No, for sure. I mean, RP, that is impressive to me just because when I got started with retro achievements, the RPGs that I did know are the ones that I kind of played first. And so if I was to go blind into an RPG, you know, like you said, it can take months, especially if it's, I mean, most RPG sets are really, really detailed. There's a lot of nuance. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes there's a lot of missables. And so I think it is nice probably to be able to not just feel like you're just blasting through a game and then you're on a different game the next week and so on and so forth. Because I can tell you that your play style and my play style, although we both enjoy the cider, yeah, I mean, they're completely opposite. Like, I feel like every week I'm on a different game, but I don't get that satisfaction of just like, you know, taking my time with a game and getting to go through it. Cause I don't do a lot of RPGs these days. Mm-hmm. I played a few here and there that are shorter ones, but I think it would be nice to kind of switch it up and, you know, get to enjoy an RPG from time to time. Cause even with like these short RPGs that I play, I just rush through them too fast because I just want to, you know, move on to the next thing sometimes. And I think that when you have that mindset, you know, things get lost in the sauce a little bit. Like, right. you don't get to really enjoy things to the level that someone else might. So, I mean, kudos to you, man, on, you know, sticking out these RPGs and really just playing through and getting those 200%, because that, you know, takes a lot of patience to go through an RPG, especially when you're doing a really complex set. I mean, there are some simpler RPG sets, but from what I've seen on your stream, you know, you're really figuring things out and making sure you're taking the time to have the attention to detail so that you're not missing an achievement and things like that. And, you know, that is a process with these. A lot of these RPG sets have, you know, 100 plus mm-hmm. or 80 plus, you know, they have just so many achievements that you really have to be kind of careful and take your time and be methodical about it. And you know, that does require a lot of planning as well. So that being said, what do you feel like are some of your goals on RA that you're working towards, maybe in regards to the RPGs or just otherwise?
I'd like to think that I'm a pretty fairly competitive person. I'm a big sports fan. I love football. We're both from Seattle, so I love my Seahawks and UW and all that stuff, but the only thing that I think I'm competitive about is, I guess, against myself. I think Bud said that in his episode of RA2, that the competition is within me to finish what I start. I don't have any aspirations of being number one or even in the top, you know, 1,000. I want to play games that I love, RPG style, and badge them. And one of my goals, if I could ever get the the cojones to get up and do it is I want to badge Final Fantasy VI. That is my all-time favorite game that isn't called Chrono Trigger. It's a hefty set. It's got a lot of nuancey type stuff. And I always think to myself, before I do an RPG stream, because to be honest, I've done a lot of the easier RPGs that take maybe one playthrough. I think the hardest one we did was Chrono Trigger just recently. And then Dragon Warrior one we did too, but that had a lot of grind in it. But I can sell a grind. I can sell grinding XP. I can pitch that. That's not that bad. But doing low level and repetitive stuff other than grinding, like over and over, having to go back and do things over and over again, it's a daunting task in my mind to present to everyone watching. So though I know my community, which is a fantastic community, would probably be fine with watching me beat my head against a wall on Final Fantasy VI over and over again, I'm still very nervous about doing it. But one of these days, my big goal that I have in front of me now is to get that Final Fantasy VI for the Super Nintendo badge. That's what I'm eyeballing right now.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, and that's a very respectable goal. I mean, you know, like I said, with a lot of these RPG sets, it's just a lot of planning and the low level run, mm-hmm. you know, low level run achievements. Like, oh, I did, cause I did the Final Fantasy VII set back Ooh. when Final Fantasy came out in PlayStation sets, I think came out September of 2019, I want to say.
Okay.
And so that was one of the first, sets that came out for PlayStation back in the day. And I mean, I spent a lot of time learning the low level run and just reading through documentation and making sure that when we got to Sephiroth, everybody was the right level. And it felt like a little bit of a miracle because, I've told this story a bit on the podcast before, but I was following like a 15-year-old game FAQs that was in semi-broken English, and somehow we made it there and we got the achievement, dude.
So. That's awesome. That's impressive, man. I one of these days I'll be able to perform something as crazy as that. But that's nuts, man. Especially when it first came out, so you don't have people like I've got people like Max to lean on or Retrosexual to lean on or Sarconius, these guys that do this a lot. And I could be like, hey, man, how did you deal with this or whatever? But if you're going totally blind, no one there to help back you up and you still achieve it, that's huge, man. That's much respect to you guys for that guy. God, I don't even know if I can wrap my brain around that without having at least somebody hold my hand through most of it, which probably makes me look really poor in the RA podcast.
No, man. I mean, that's the thing. I say it probably every episode. It's just becoming a cliche at this point, but enjoy the site how you want. And, you know, I have friends that have taught me so much about different types of games that I really am just, I mean, mediocre at best, and that's probably being nice about it. You know, I mean, when it comes to like racing games, for example, I mean, Draco is, you know, he's an incredible player of racing games. Like, he just destroys racing games, but that's not really my cup of tea, not something I'm good at, but he taught, like, I went back and did Mario Kart 64 a while ago. I had a partial completion on it and I went back and said, you know what, I'm gonna do this. And he kind of, you know, gave me some tips and tricks along the way. So it's always nice to have people to be able to lean on rather than have to look up you know, everything
15-year-old broken English FAQs.
It was, oh god, man. From a lot of the RPG sets I've looked at, not a lot of them have low level runs. There's a lot of missable stuff or do this fight a certain way type of things, but the low level doesn't seem to be across too many RPGs, but that's a brutal one, man. I mean, that changes your whole gameplay style from beginning to end. So
we did that with Legend of Dragoon. The Legend of Dragoon set was, I think,
right.
I'd never played Legend of Dragoon before, and I said, we're going to 200% this, and everybody's like, God, why? And I think I did it in solidarity to Max, because Max was playing it, and then his retro arch or something crashed, he lost everything. and he was really upset about it. So he stepped away from playing it. And I went, you know what? I'm gonna do this for Max. So we picked it up and we did it. And I think before that time, I hadn't had any handcuffing type achievements during fights. And I'm pretty methodical when it comes to doing all the, you know, the turn-based type stuff. And I just took that and just threw it out the door. There was no, I couldn't be methodical. I had to be like extra methodical about things and had to think harder about what I can use and what I shouldn't use. And like you said, when you were checking the FAQ, making sure you had everything that needed to be where it needed to be. And it's the same thing with that. It's like, you can't have your strongest character use their best attack. So now my strongest character is going to be throwing heals at everybody because that they can't do anything. So I got to use these two people and figure out how to use these two people who I normally wouldn't use. And it's awesome. I really enjoyed a lot of those types of challenges to, and people would come in and be like, why are you playing with that guy? Why aren't you using him to do that? I'm like, it's RA, man. It's RA. Just let it ride. We're going to beat this. Don't worry. I got this taken care of, you know, just let it go. We've been doing it for 6 hours. I'm going to handle it, you know? And it just, the only thing it did was drag the fight out a little longer because you couldn't do like the excessive damage that you can normally do. But I liked it. I was like, I did this with one hand tied behind my back. That's pretty cool, you know?
Yeah, I mean, some of the achievements that are boss specific, it's funny you mention it because I've had the same experience where I'm streaming and someone's like, you know, you could just do it this way. It's like, sorry, man, hands are tied. hands are tied, man. It's all right. Like retroachievements.org, here's the achievements. So yeah,
just type in exclamation point. All right, it'll take you to the thing and tell you what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. Trust me.
It's like, I would do it that way if I could.
It looks dumb, but I swear to God, I know what I'm doing.
Oh, God, that's always a fun experience. So I know you mentioned that you have a wheel to help decide with games on your channel. Do you have any other way that you decide games, or is it mostly based on the wheel?
I'm very flighty, I guess you could say. It's more like, here's a wheel, spin it. If it lands on 200% an RPG, then you select the RPG you want me to present. A lot of the times it'll be me like, you select an RPG you want to play. Okay, you want me to play Secret of Mana? Cool. Let's 200% it. Let's see what we can do. Let's see how far we can get on it. And then that's usually what takes off. Before it was, God, I hope somebody doesn't pick this. I hope somebody doesn't pick this. But now it's like, God, I think I could do that. Let's try that. You know, I'll look over the set, see how bad it is, see how long it's going to take me, and then I kind of decipher, do I want to play this for, you know, the planned month that it takes to beat it, or do I want to add an extra 2 or 3 months to the end of it? Does anybody care? Let's try it. Let's see what we can do. And then once we get into a pace and I start seeing the numbers, you know, go up, and Retrosexual has an overlay that he created, and I use it on my RA stuff. And I just watch the numbers like tick off, you know, okay, we got that one. We got that one. Gee, I only have 30 achievements left out of 70. Let's see if we can knock this thing out. Let's finish it up. And then if it's all just grind stuff, then a lot of the time I'll do grinding off stream. Cause there's a point to where you're like, all right, I've listened to this droning noise in my head for the last 2 hours. Need a break. Let's break it up with something. I don't care what it is. Shoot me in the face with water. Just stop. Just turn that sound off. It's driving me crazy. So it's more or less just kind of me deciding, do I want that badge or not? You know, do I want that RPG badge? And that's where we're at now. But we're updating the wheel here too to add more RA type stuff, because I can do RPGs pretty much all day. That's my bread and butter. But if you're going to throw a platformer at me, and you want to see me get angry, that's the best way to do it. I am a terrible platformer. I am awful at platforming.
Well, I will say, you know, with platforming, I definitely need to work on that category as well. 3D platformers / collectathons, I'm a little bit better at, but the collectathon type platformers seem to be a little more forgiving than just your basic, you know, standard platformer. And right now I'm on this huge beat 'em up grind that I've been on for a while. I kind of slowed down the focus on points a little bit, so I've been kind of just channeling my inner beat 'em up and enjoying that. But I definitely can understand wanting to, you know, grind off stream when it's just something that's like super nauseating and just grindy, especially for RPGs. So that's, that's definitely understandable that, you know, that might, you might ask yourself, do people really want to watch me do this for this amount of time? Or maybe is this better suited to get ready for this achievement and then, you know, get on stream when my characters are the appropriate level or the appropriate experience and things like that.
Right.
What would you say are some of the your favorite sets that you have played on Retro Achievements?
We just did Chrono Trigger, like I said earlier, and I'm in love with that game. It's the only non-Final Fantasy game that, if Final Fantasy did not exist, that would be my all-time favorite ever played. You got to do all, 13 endings, and you got to, you know, get all the gear and do low-level stuff to start, and then you got to grind all the way to 99, and I loved every minute of that game. Probably just because I love the game so much, so I'm a little biased on that, but I think my favorite RA stuff is definitely like the handcuffing of some of the abilities that you would make, that would make things just easy. You know, I mean, like, I'll do Luminar a couple times and wipe out a boss because it hits everything and it does massive damage. Good to go. But if you're like, no, you got to do single targets attack on that stuff. That's the kind of stuff I really like. So,
yeah, for sure. When it comes to RPGs, obviously it's been a little while for me, but the handcuffed fights thing is always really cool to kind of like, you know, go like, for example, go into a fight blind and then not look anything up, but try different things and see what works. And you're like, oh, okay, maybe this is a good way to do this. I know for Final Fantasy VII back when I did it, you know, obviously there was the low level run, but a lot of the fights didn't have anything written about not using any limit breaks or anything like that. You know, there's a bunch of different, there's a bunch of different types of runs that people do for a game like that, like low level, know this, know that, but still that took a little bit of ingenuity to figure that out. So I definitely agree with you that, just handcuffed fights or fights where you have to not do certain things, I think, are one of my favorite types of achievements in an RPG set. What would you say are some of the greatest challenges that you've overcome in your Retro Achievements journey? So you have any like particularly hard achievements or achievement sets that really stand out to you?
I do. Most likely because it was earlier on in the RA career and I was getting used to how things operated and what to do. I think the most frustrating / most excited achievement that I've popped has to be Symphony of the Night, damage lists on the three fake heroes. I did that fight for 10 hours, 8 hours one day, and then finished it up with 2 hours the next day. I did nothing on my stream but fight those three guys. That's all I did. And it was so disheartening, discouraging, and I was like, I'm not going to figure this out. I have no idea what I'm doing. And I kept trying to do the same thing over and over again, and my brain would not allow me to think outside of the box for it a little bit, because there's a pattern to do it. And once I figured out the pattern, I mean, I looked stuff up. I looked up Dan Carnte. He had done a Symphony Night run. He hadn't badged it at the time, but I know he did that fight, so I was trying to watch him do it. I looked up everywhere to find if anything could give me information on how to beat this thing, and I finally found a pattern. And the minute I did, when I got that pop, when that achievement popped, I you know, celebrated like I do. I put my headphones down on my desk and I took a walk out to my living room with everything still running. I didn't say anything. I just said yes, put my headphones down, walked out in the living room, and I screamed into a pillow as loud as I could. And then I came back in, calm, cool, collecting. Sat back down. Okay, what's the next thing we got to do? And you know, chat's going crazy because a lot of the guys and girls that were there had been riding this wave with me from the start of the 10 hours yesterday into today. So much, in fact, that when I started the stream up, they came in and were like, "Oh boy, he's back at it again." But I couldn't move on until I was done. I'm not the type of person to be like, "All right, you know what? I'll deal with that later. We'll come back to it." I can't do that. If it's in front of me, and I'm there, I'll do it. I try to break away and go do other things, but and then it just nags at me. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, guys. We're doing this. I'm going to do this right now. I don't care how long it takes me. And man, that one was probably one of the best one. And then the handless fight against Dracula was also one of my favorites. Having to beat him fistless, damageless. Fistless with his wrists, apparently. Weaponless, damageless. That fight was a very methodical way to do it. And getting that, there's a very loud expression and a clip of that win that I play at the beginning of my stream. And there's a lot of excitement from getting that one popped. So that those two are both the hardest and proudest I have done, unless you want to start talking about platformers, which could take the rest of the podcast to talk about. I'm not good at those.
Well, much respect to you on earning those achievements. I mean, I will say that, you know, I haven't ventured too much into Castlevania as a series, and that's something that I've received some outside pressure to do, and I've thought about kind of getting into. I didn't really grow up with Castlevania too much, but the titles all look excellent, mm-hmm. and there are, you know, quite a few of them on Retro Achievements, so there's obviously plenty to do. And I too have had some of those moments where you're just like streaming and you've just overcome this, you know, this achievement that you've been working on for a day or two, literally one achievement, right? You know, right. There's the whole set and you just feel like there's that one achievement where it's just a deathless or a damageless or a default weapon. It's like, okay, when I get this, I'm going to lose my mind. Yep. Like when I get this, I'm just going to scream. So I've had some moments like that, and it just, there's no other feeling in the world like that, you know, of just being in that position and finally overcoming something that's taken, you know, day, 2 days, maybe longer than that, just because of the amount of nuance in it. And, you know, one thing I will say about titles like that is just that you can look up a video all you want, but for a better strat, but you still got to execute that strat in the video. So that's why I have a lot of respect for people like you that are doing, you know, achievements like that, because, you know, no disrespect to, for example, puzzle games or games where you have to solve certain things, and there's videos out there of that, but that's a lot less execution based.
Yeah.
Right. Like at the end of the day, when you're doing a default weapon fight or you're doing, you know, a deathless or damageless, unless there's some crazy cheese, typically you're having to still execute and perform on a certain level, you know, depending on the title. So we've talked a lot about what types of achievements you do like, and you've given some really, really interesting and great examples of kind of what you enjoy out of a set. Let's take things in a little bit of a different direction, talk about the opposite side of the coin. So any types of achievements that you're not particularly fond of, or achievements that you don't like the formatting for?
RNG based achievements is something I'm trying not to be super negative about it, but it does rub me the wrong way. We did a Dragon Warrior 1 the other day. And aside from the incessant grinding, which I like the incessant grinding. There is an achievement where you have to get the cursed necklace, and I think it's got a 1 in 200 chance of popping. And I spent a couple hours on my off time doing it, and then a couple hours on stream doing it, and we eventually got it. But it was just like leaving the dungeon, coming back in, leaving the dungeon, coming back in. And I was level 30, so everything was running from me. You know, I wasn't fighting anything. It was literally just running back and forth. And I was getting, I got a little perturbed because I was like, I just want this necklace so we can be done with this one. This is literally the only thing holding up getting that 200, you know, that 200% badge. And those are really the only ones. I mean, I'll complain and moan about, you know, damageless boss fights because I'm not great at them. But once you get good at them, then you're like, oh yeah, these are awesome. I love damageless fights. I think damageless fights are super fun and super challenging. Obviously not in the moment, I don't like it, but after you get it, you're like, yeah, you know, I did that. So that's the kind of stuff. But RNG based ones, I'm not a particular fan of. And I'm not good at racing games either, like you said earlier. So anything that's time trialed, I'm like, but you know, there's still a challenge in that. There's still your technique on how to get through it and finding the right path to get the right amount of time, like Super Metroid, Escape from, you know, the planet at the very end. There's a challenge in for me to be broader minded and trying to figure out the best path, the best way to get out of there on time and shave off time and what I can do. But with RNG stuff, there's nothing I can do to make it easier or harder. You know what I mean? There's nothing that makes me, my mental capacity does not change the fact that this is going to be, maybe I'll get it in 3 times. Maybe I'll get it in 2000 times. There's nothing I could do to change that. And then you start thinking, you know, tinfoil hat stuff like, well, maybe if I open the chest at this exact chord on the theme song of the game, then maybe that's the RNG I need. Or if I take this square instead of that square, you're like, nah, it's just going to happen when it happens. This is a percentile, man. The algorithm's rolling the dice on you, and hopefully it'll roll the score you want. So those are the only ones that I really, that rub me the wrong way. But everything else, I think, is spectacular. And again, whenever you first approach it and you're looking at the wall, like, I got to climb this thing. I don't want to climb this thing. But then you go, you know, I'm going to climb this thing, and you climb it. You fall down. This wall is stupid. I don't want this wall here. I got to get over it, though. So you climb it again. You keep climbing it until you get to the very top, and you're like, I'm so happy this wall was here. That was really fun. Like, once you figured it out. That's, you know, everybody complains about looking at, oh, God, I don't want to do that. And then they do it, and they achieve it, and they're like, wow, it was awesome, you know. So yeah. I like things that really do test my skill, you know, physically and mentally to like what can I do to make this happen? Someone's done it. It wouldn't have been written if someone couldn't do it, you know, so someone's done it, you know, so that's, I like those. But again, anything that just is a gamble, I don't care for.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. I mean, of all the achievements I've done, I think RNG would probably stand out as like the F tier of achievements. And it's, you know, I think that is really good feedback for the developers not being negative. Is just, if you're going to make an RNG achievement, at least, you know, consider the possibilities of the unfortunate souls that might have to you know, wade through the waters of that 1 in 2000 chance, or 200, or, you know, whatever it may be. You know, it could, like you said, it could be 3 attempts, it could be 2000 attempts, versus like a damage list rather is like, I hate this. Okay, the next day I got a little bit better at it. Okay, I can see how this can kind of be done. Okay, I'm over that wall. I love this achievement, right? It's like this emotional roller coaster, whereas like RNG is just, it's just not really enjoyable. And I think sometimes it's good to have RNG achievements in a title if it's, you know, part of the content for like an RPG, for example. It can happen a lot where there's a gambling game or a casino game.
Right.
And maybe it's not crazy, but yeah, things where you have like just a low percentage drive me nuts, on top of the fact that, you know, you talked a little bit about, maybe if I do this, and you start having that tinfoil hat, and it's like, dude, we could go off on a tangent about RPG conspiracy stuff. Cause I've had the same thought process. I'm like, okay, if I do 2 steps on this tile, cause all of the encounters are based on the amount of tiles I step, and I go to this tile instead, maybe I'll get this encounter pattern, and maybe this will, I've gone off on that like conspiracy theory, like tinfoil hat journey. And it's just like, just keep grinding, and eventually the thing is going to happen.
Like, yeah, you sound just like me sitting here playing Dragon Warrior going, well, maybe if I go around the back instead of going straight to it.
Yeah.
That should change the amount of the encounters I get, which will change the percentage of this popping up. And then I'm like, no, I stepped on 1 too many squares. You're like, no, that's not how it works, man. It's just an algorithm. Just wait it out. Just grind it out. It's funny when you start really, like you said, breaking into the nitty gritty of the RPG, you know, tinfoil hat committee. It's funny. It's real funny.
Yeah, no, it's a dangerous it can be a dangerous path to go down. So it's always good to you know, sometimes have a friend be like, am I crazy or am I sounding crazy when I'm saying right. these things? So but no, I mean, I've definitely been there with you know, a few low drop percentage type achievements myself, and eventually things just work out, but they don't work out because I, you know, walk a different way or I do something differently. They just work out because they work out. Now, I will say on the flip side of that, you know, with really simple games, a lot of the time, sometimes you are able to, this is more on the esoteric side, the stuff that's less written in stone about, you know, kind of what's out there. But with some more esoteric games, I have figured some stuff out that, you know, that isn't in videos. We're talking for like Atari stuff, so not necessarily right. RPGs, like a traditional example where, like, you know, FF7, all of the data on the game is out there, broken down to the ones and zeros, right? Mm. You could literally figure out anything you need to know about anything with that. But, you know, once in a while you figure something out, but I can tell you the amount of times that happens versus the amount of times I just put on the tinfoil hat because I want to be salty about the RNG is just like, it's greatly outnumbered. But, you know, with all this talk of achievement hunting and kind of the way that we approach games and think about things as a whole, how do you feel like achievement hunting has kind of changed the way in which you approach games now that you are really, really getting fully into RA and putting a lot of time and effort into that?
It does make me think a lot more. I picked RPGs as kind of my focal point for my stream because I went to college to do broadcasting, and I don't have my degree or anything. Like I didn't really, you know, complete it, but it was always my point to get to be some sort of entertainment. I was a musician for 12 years and sang in a band, did all the touring and did all that, you know, hoopla that goes with that. And I was like, what can I do that would invest people into what we're doing, but also allow me to interact with them easy than playing Sonic the Hedgehog or playing, you know, playing a first person shooter with a group of friends or something like that. Let's play RPG. RPGs can be slow, you know, and I can fill in the slow parts with banter and jokes and goofy scene changes and all this stuff, make people laugh as we go. But then when we start getting into like the actual story stuff, then people can glom onto the story. Oh, this is interesting. You know, this character's doing this, how we react to it for that. So I always thought, you know, this is going to be, RPGs will be a challenge in and of itself because I don't ever consider myself to be like I don't want to say a smart guy because that sounds like I'm being, you know, self-deprecating, but I don't think of myself as a calculated person. But when I play RPGs, I'm extremely calculated and very focused on what I'm trying to do in a fight, you know, to make sure I get all the right stuff in order and all the things lined up. RA adds to that, like, it keeps me sharp, I guess you could say, if you want to start talking about old man terms. It keeps my brain sharp, thinking about not only can I just press B button and smash through this and get on to the next thing, but RA doesn't allow me to do that. RA wants me to do this instead. Oh, that's an interesting technique. That's a different idea. I never thought of that. Let's try that. Oh God, it worked. It might have taken me an extra 10 minutes to do it, but it worked and that was awesome. And then you see the badge pop up and, you know, I get the little animation of my guy jumping around with the whatever we picked up. And it's like, yeah, let's keep going. It's like a drug, man. And it makes me think more. It makes me sharper. And it also gets my chat interacting with it too. Let's try this. Have you tried this? Like if it's something that's really hard and I'm like, guys, I don't know what we're doing. Like, what should we do? Chat will start, you know, hey, try this. Or, you know, this is a good idea. Or here's a link to this or blah, blah, blah. So it gets people invested in it as well. And then when you get that pop, when you finally get that achievement that you've been working so hard at, the people with you that have been watching you do it feel like they got it too. So it's like everybody gets this. I don't know how many times I've watched Max and I've just sat there and my wife is watching something on TV and I'm watching him on my phone or Frank or someone and I'm just holding my breath. And she's like, what are you doing over there? I'm like, shh, Max is trying to get an achievement. Like as if her talking is going to ruin anything. Shush, Max is going to get this. And then he'll get it, and I'll jump out of the couch like I did it myself, you know, to see that sigh of relief come off of him or Bud or whoever's chasing that achievement. You feel like you got to ride with it, and you get to – I've missed hours of sleep watching Sarconius chase achievements just because I can't sleep because it's so, you know, it's so interesting to watch that kind of stuff. So I just think the added – the added thought process to everything that you have to do to make a simple game a hard mode game, I guess, as Trazit from Australia likes to call things, just makes it that much better and that much more fun.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think, you know, you make a great point about being invested in the people that you watch and what they're doing and almost feeling like you got the achievement in a way to see them like go through that, you know, that struggle and to learn something from the ground up. And to even, I think one of the most satisfying things is when you've done a really hard achievement and seeing somebody else go through that same process of like, you know, practicing it and going through it and then seeing them get it. It's almost like you got it that second time, right?
Right.
So that's been a really fun thing to watch. And, you know, admittedly, we all play different games, so it doesn't always line up like that. But, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of the time it's really cool to just see somebody go through a similar process that you went through and even kind of just like, you know, see how well they did it versus how well you did it, you know, mm-hmm. have that little competitive side to things. But, you know, diving into games that you would like to see added to the website, I noticed that you have 5 game requests, but you haven't requested any titles on Retro Achievements. So I'm wondering, what does Chard want to see maybe added to Retro Achievements at some point?
Oh, I didn't even know. I don't even know. I didn't even know I had 5 game requests.
I'm just giving you. I'm giving you crap. But
I was gonna say, I requested anything. Man, I don't know. I know a lot of people or a lot of people that I watch or at least hang out with me that watch me too are more into like creating these sets for these games. I just like all the RPG stuff you guys are putting out. That just makes me excited to bring it. I'd love to see Lunar and Lunar 2 eventually get some kind of set. Lunar is a very very fun. It's a sleeper game. Like I was told by a gal, one of my mods and good friends, it's like his favorite game series ever. And he was suggesting it to me and I'd watch Max play it. And I was kind of like, nah, you know, it's not really, it doesn't look like it's my style or anything, but I'll give it a shot for gal. Let's play a couple minutes of it or whatever. And I ended up falling in love with it because it's got so much, there's a lot of pop culture references in it. There's a lot of nuancey things in it and the way it plays and feels is fantastic. And I'm playing Lunar 2 right now and was like, oh, there's no set for this. Oh, that's disappointing. Like I thought I'd pick something up and there'd be a set for it. Cause I don't play a lot of obscure games. I play a lot of pretty popular RPGs, I would say. And that one doesn't have one yet. So that's what I said when I started. I was like, I'm playing a game that doesn't have sets. It's really bizarre. So I'd like to see those ones get it. There's a game I grew up with a childhood friend of mine. We used to play on Sega Genesis called Cyborg Justice, and it is an absolute jank game. It is awful in every respect, but to a 10-year-old Chard Monk, it is the coolest game he's ever played. And I think 6 months ago, I voted for Sarconius to play it, and it didn't have a set at the time. And he played it, and he just barfed all over it the entire time he was playing it. And I was like, listen, when you're 10, this game is cool. When you're almost 40, it's terrible. I get it. And then they created a set for it. It had to have been like a week or two after he had played it. So he put it up on my channel. He's like, hey, you're going to give this a shot. And I looked at it and I went, no, this set, no, I can't do it. So you guys are popping out a lot of stuff that I grew up playing. Like I know I got all these people that are putting in all these different suggestions. I just kind of sit back and ride the wave and be like, okay, what do you guys got for me? Like, what can we start today? I feel like there's too much in front of me for me to start suggesting anything. You know what I mean? There's a lot of games you guys have that I haven't played yet that I want to badge before I start going, you know what? I think Final Fantasy 14 should probably start getting some achievement sets, you know, stuff like that.
Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, for sure. I think that, you know, we talk about this on the podcast all the time. It's not a bad problem to have, but you know, the amount of sets that are coming out these days as opposed to in the past is kind of insane. Mm-hmm. And so there's just so much stuff to do that one could never really complain about a lack of amount of things to do on retro achievements. You know, there's something for everybody on the site. I think it's just, you know, some people are a little bit pickier, some people are a little more open-minded about what they enjoy on the site. And just taking a look at Lunar 2 has 28 set requests, which is pretty high. Mm-hmm. So it's, I would imagine that, you know, that might have a set coming at some point in the future. Obviously that's just speculative, but
right, of course.
Seems like it's a pretty popular request. If it has 28 requests on it, that's a pretty good chunk of requests. I could drop one on that for you if you'd like, since I've got four free. Yeah,
absolutely.
Apparently. Absolutely. So, that being said, you know, we always give a lot of credit to the development team, and they certainly deserve that credit. They're the ones that are, you know, pumping out tons and tons of sets and just really putting in a lot of hard work and hours so that everybody can enjoy the site. And obviously they're not doing it for profit. They don't get paid. They're right. spending their personal time in order to create entertaining content for all of us. So they definitely deserve a lot of credit for the hard work that they put in. So
I love it. I the fact that they can do things that, I mean, the things people can do is just, it blows my mind. And coming up with all these different programmings and different skill sets and these, and there's, I mean, what, there's hacks and ROM hacks and mods, and nothing is untouched. Like, you really can't think of anything out there that, I've seen stuff pop up on RA and be like, you can get a badge for that. You know, it's impressive what everybody has done with the site, and much love and great appreciation to all the programmers and the people that work their butts off to keep these things going and to keep the site up and running and to deal with problems with, you know, people like me that are running the wrong core and don't understand why their stuff's not popping, and they go, oh, just change your core. Okay, we'll pop those for you. I watched you do it. You know, some of these guys are hanging out in our streams, watching them play the games that they. I know Shmelioff is. I've seen him whenever I do Castlevania stuff. I see Shmelly come in a lot. Sepha, I've grown pretty, you know, close to, quote unquote, on RA, and then you guys, of course. You guys are just always there, and I've never have a problem. I've never looked at anything that I've done in RA and been like, what the heck? What is, you're not going to fix the issue? No, every single time. Yep, we watched you do it. You got the proof. You got the badge. Here you go. Just make sure you do this next time. And then you also guys ask, you know, what core were you using? What was this? You get down to the nitty gritty so it doesn't happen again. It's not like you know, they Band-Aid over it and say, well, we'll give it to him and just let it go. No, they tear it apart and fix it so that the next person doesn't have to deal with the same problem. And that's not easy work, repairing that kind of stuff. That's crazy. And then that, again, like, they're doing it on their own time. Nobody's telling them or paying them to do this. They're like taking their Sunday afternoon that they could be doing something else to do it. It's a labor of love. And I got to give them all the appreciation I can.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, when it comes to the development community and also the community as a whole on Retro Achievements, I had a really good experience just working with so many people. And, you know, like you said, there are times when, you know, you're playing somebody's set and they come in your stream. And, you know, if you're playing like a AAA game, you don't have like a person from QA or like development coming in your stream.
Right.
You know, when you're playing a set on RA, just like the guy that made this set came in your stream and now all of a sudden you're friends. And like, yeah. I made, you know, a lot of good friends that way. Just like, I play one of their sets and then we have a dialogue and then I'm like, oh, they just made another Game Boy set. Like, I know what I'm going to be doing. And, you know, right. we've had so much good, so much good dialogue just back and forth, myself and some of the devs about, you know, the set. And they like you said, the other big thing is that their attention to detail is really high. You know, they don't just, a lot of the times, you know, they go above and beyond. You know, it's not like it's just manual unlock and going to leave the achievement broken. It's like, they don't want the tickets on them. They want to, you know, deal with these issues and put out high quality content. And I will say that, you know, as far as going through a lot of these sets, the quality of the achievements has evolved significantly. You know, back in the day, it was more of a completion based thing, mm-hmm. where it was beat stage one, beat stage two, beat stage three. And just a, you know, precursor that there's nothing wrong with those achievements, but those are kind of just the bread and butter of a, you know, a set with doing this special thing in stage two or doing this damage list in stage four. Like, there's nothing wrong with having those baseline achievements, but it is retro achievements. You know, Max said this on a previous podcast he was here with us on. You know, we're here to achieve things, not to just play through a game,
right?
So there is that added level of challenge of having those extra achievements, and that's where the devs, the creative ones, really shine, where you have to do this and that you're during a stage, or you have that handcuffs style achievement that you've talked about that adds a lot of flavor, doesn't significantly punish the player. Mm-hmm. But I think one of my favorite things that is always really fun to do is, and I'm sure maybe you can relate to this, maybe you can't, but an achievement where you try, so you have never played the game before and you start off by trying to do it the handcuffed way. Mm-hmm. And you no matter what, you just keep pushing through the handcuff way or having to deal with the achievement mechanic. And then when you play through the stage normally, you're just like, you just destroy the stage because you're not handcuffed anymore. And you're just like, man, I took the training wheels off or I'm riding my bike now. So
that's exactly how it felt. Legend of Dragoon was like that because I'd never played it. So I did everything the handcuffed way. I don't like repeating. Like, I don't mind. Like, I keep saying that, but I talk about how I grind all the time, which is nothing but repeating yourself. But grinding to me is a different ball game rather than, I got to go back to the stage. I got to do this again. I got to do the back to the stage and do this again. Grinding is a set amount of things you can do quickly in one sitting instead of starting all over again and doing, you know, something over again. So I'm very, that's kind of the reason why I'm so focused on doing it the handcuffed way once and only once, instead of saying, oh, we'll come back and get that. I don't want to come back and get that. I'm not going to drive to Everett and not stop in Linwood, for all those who live in the Western Washington area, instead of going through Linwood to go to Everett. It's like, I'll get that on my way back from Canada. I don't want to do that. I'm going to stop at Linwood, even if it takes me 30 extra minutes to do it, so I can get up and not have to come back. That's just always been my train of thought. So if I hit a wall on an achievement, you're not going to see anything beyond that achievement until I get it done. And that's just kind of the way I'm designed. So.
Yeah, no, I can respect that. I mean, when it's like, there's like a beat stage two and then a beat stage two damage list, it's like, I want to get the, because most of the time, 99% of the time now, you know, achievements stack in the sense that if you complete both of the conditions, so if you complete stage one damage list or stage two damage list or whatever, then you're going to get that plus the stage two just regular completion. So it's like, I just want to get both on the first go. Like, I don't care if it takes me longer. I don't want to have to go back. Like, I just want to do this the right way the first time, so I don't have to do it, you know, a million other times. So that's definitely understandable. Do you have a favorite video game console?
I grew up, I got my Nintendo in 1986, I think, pretty much when the release date was. I got my first NES, and I played the heck out of that. And then I had a childhood friend growing up. I had a couple childhood friends, obviously, but she had a Super Nintendo, and I got a Sega Genesis. Now, I wanted a Super Nintendo really bad because I was a big Final Fantasy fan, and I got a Genesis instead. So I spent many, many years trying to find anything that's comparable to Final Fantasy on the Genesis, which Phantasy Star 4 is the closest thing you'll get. And I used to go to her house and we'd play Final Fantasy 2/4. And then she got Final Fantasy 3/6, you know, and I fell in love with that game, and Chrono Trigger. And all my favorite RPGs were on the Super Nintendo at the time. And I think my love for the Super Nintendo just stuck with me, and it has always been like the coveted, when I finally got old enough to get one, play the games on my own. That's always been my coveted. So I'd have to say Super Nintendo is probably my favorite gaming console.
Yeah, fair enough. I You know, obviously, I talked about this a bit on the podcast before. My favorite is the Game Boy, but I did play a decent amount of. I didn't have a physical Super Nintendo, but I used to emulate them back in the day, and so I kind of picked up some different titles along the way that I've really enjoyed for the Super Nintendo, and probably some other beat 'em ups that I'm gonna take a look back into. There was like a Captain America War of the Gems or something like that. Like that's one I've been looking at getting back into at some point, because I know I played, like, I didn't play Super Nintendo as much when I was younger. I did, like I said, I did a bit of emulation with it, but something I've been thinking about. So I wanted to kind of fast forward to the future a little bit here, since we have talked a lot about retro, and get your take on just kind of modern gaming in general. How do you feel about modern gaming? And then do you have any modern consoles or do anything like that outside of retro achievements?
Oh yeah, I've got a PlayStation 4 and an Xbox One. My Xbox One's been collecting a lot of dust, because when the PlayStation 4 moved in, it pretty much took over my life for modern consoling. Also, you know, I got my PC, so I got a lot of I try to get a lot of new games. I got Cyberpunk 2077, which I am one of the few people that really did enjoy playing through that. I do modern gaming, and every now and then, if a really big title comes out that I'm real interested in playing, I will stream it and I will play it. We did that with Cyberpunk 2077. I love my retro games and I love my retro RPGs, but sometimes you just need a good Ghost of Tsushima or a good Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, or just something to kind of spice up your life. And I've got a fairly decent PC, and sometimes I just want to see how good things can look. I play Sea of Thieves on the weekends with a group of friends. We call the Retro Raiders. That Retro Shred and KBK, T-Girly, the Gaming Chef. We will get together and we'll go do high seas adventuring. And Phasmophobia is probably my favorite current, I guess you would say, modern game. It's super janky, but oh my god, I love ghost hunting games. I'm a big fan of ghost hunting shows and games, and getting the pants scared off of me. And Phasmophobia delivers in every respect. And we have a group called Retro's Most Haunted that we get together, and it's my buddy Lord Optic, Jaeger Bombastic, T Girly, Sinistar 77. And a couple other names that come in, and we'll rotate in and out, and we hunt ghosts, and it's so much fun, and it's horrifying, and you get some really good jump scares out of me and out of the people we play with. And so I have a small little section of my stream that I'll do some modern gaming on, but retro RPGs will always be my one and only true love that I always go back to.
Gotcha. No, that's awesome that you are doing, mixing it up with some other content. And I'm not sure if you're a big fan of horror movies as well, or just the horror genre, but Draco is always giving me a bit of flack about every guest we have on. they all like horror movies and games. Like, every guest is just a shootsy guest. So it's funny though, but a lot of the times we're so engrossed in RA that we forget that there are some other things out there. For me personally, I'm not I don't play a lot of modern games, but you know, I do stuff outside of retro achievements once in a while to kind of just mix things up. I've been like doing a little bit of Beat Saber lately, just to get a little bit of movement and things like that. But kind of going back to the past, I know we've been speeding up and slowing down and so forth, but going back to the past, what would you say are some of your favorite gaming memories from your childhood?
First game I ever beat as a kid. I'm a Disney kid. I grew up going to Disneyland. I was raised in California for most of my life. I've lived all over the place, so we've been around. But as a kid and most of my teens, we lived in California, and my parents would constantly take us to Disneyland. We were 7 hours away probably, so it would, you know, it'd be a big adventure, big vacation whenever we go down there. So I played a lot of DuckTales and Chippendales Rescue Rangers and stuff like that. And the first game I ever completed as a kid was Chippendales Rescue Rangers, and it has to be, I still remember it to this day. I was at a friend's house. I had to have been 7 or 8 maybe. I don't exactly know how old I was when I did it, but I was at his house. We were playing the game. I had finally gotten to Fat Cat. I was dodging all the ashes and the cigar. I was standing up straight up. Like, I wasn't sitting. I was standing like a foot from the TV. You know, when your mom goes, don't sit that close, your eyes will go cross. I beat him, and I just stood there with my mouth hanging open because I'd never beaten a video game in my life as a kid. I played Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt and California games and a bunch of different stuff. You know, this kind of aging myself here. And I just dropped the controller, and I just stood there for like 5 minutes and just stared at the title as the title screen went through, you know, saying all the people that made the game and stuff. And I couldn't believe it. And my buddy was jumping off the couch. It's probably my first ever Twitch stream in 1980, 1990, blah, 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 where someone was watching me beat a game and celebrating with me that we had completed it. And I think that's a memory that I will keep with me for a long time. And then completing Final Fantasy X on the PlayStation 2 was the first ever RPG that I did by myself, meaning nobody was there to help me. No strategy guide, no backseaters, nothing. And I finished that all on my own. And it was the first, like, and that's what kind of really solidified my I'm going to go in an RPG direction. And that had been 2000. So about, you know, a couple years back, 20 years ago that I did that. So those are my two finest, I think, gaming moments that I can recall that I will cherish for the rest of my life.
No, it's always crazy, but you know, we think of the past, and I always can think of, I think the most distinct and vivid memories I have are the ones of things I did in video games, as horrible as that may sound, but, or not horrible, depending. Mm-hmm. You know, just having those moments that we will never forget that happened in a video game. It's like, I think it's the same thing kind of with music, is if you ever hear a song, it like takes you back to the first time you heard it, you know, or where you were when you first heard it, or what you were doing at the time, what you were like as a person. So, also, you know, I need to give Final Fantasy X a chance. I've never given it its full chance. I have the Greatest Hits edition next to me. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those weird people that likes 12, but wasn't a big fan of 10. But okay. I've never really gave 10 like the full, you know, full chance, like let it kind of build up and let it get to, because I know 10 is one of the most popular ones. And I think a lot of people did not like 12. So I must just be in this odd minority of things where you know, I like the Final Fantasies that people don't like, but I think 10 definitely is something I want to return to at some point, because I really want to experience the game for what it is, and I haven't looked anything up for that game ever, I don't think. Mm-hmm. So I'd be getting a true blind experience. It would probably be a lot of fun, but yeah, once in a while I've kind of thought about firing up the PS2 and getting things going with that. It's just a matter of, you know, figuring out the time, and then that bad feeling of, oh, there's no achievements, but yeah. I'm still having fun. So,
well, if it makes you feel any better, once you complete the game, when, you know, if you make it that far, there is a lot of side stuff that is some of the most difficult in-game non-retro achievement program stuff that I have ever done. I'm doing it actually off to the side right now because Frank wants me to take on the ultimate super boss in Final Fantasy X, and it involves, you know, a full sphere grid for at least three characters, all their celestial weapons, which is a nightmare to get, and then taking on a bunch of super bosses that will lead you into the super boss. If you've got the PlayStation, I think it's the European version or the re-release. I know I have the re-release for PlayStation 4. That has both X and X2 on it, the HD remaster. It's got all this extra stuff in it. And if you want to challenge yourself with that game, that's definitely the way to do it. Again, you won't get any badges or anything crazy for it, but you'll definitely get badges on your PlayStation and a sense of accomplishment when you can beat a chocobo race by getting double zeros at the end of it after doing it for 7 hours. I almost broke a controller doing that, actually, a couple weekends ago. I had to go take a walk outside because some of those, they're right up retro achievements alleys. They're right up there. Just completing them. It's not even a, you know, do it handcuffed. It's just beating it. And there's a lot of appreciation that goes into 10 with that. Plus, if you can get past the Titus or Titus or however, I call him Titus because that's how I've always known to pronounce it. If you can get past his laughing scene, which everybody seems to loathe, the rest of the game is phenomenal. I think there's a lot of growth in the protagonist and a lot of, it's very melancholy, like throughout of it. It's one of the few games that I beat as a kid and I actually got super emotional at the end of the game. And I'm not really, I'm not a show my emotions kind of person, but a single tear rolled out of my eye during the end of that game. It's a great ending. It's a really strong game, my opinion.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that, yeah, you ever play a game, it doesn't have retro achievements, but it's like, okay, this could conceivably be worth 25 points or 10 points or something like that. You know, it could be, this could have retro achievements. This could work. So, you know, you do a lot of streaming. We've had a good conversation about that and kind of what you do on your stream and what you're working towards. But tell us a little bit about kind of the beginning of that. How did you get started streaming on Twitch?
I love the origin stories. By the way, I love listening to everybody's origin stories on the RA podcast. It's one of my favorite things to listen to. So it makes my origin story be like, oh, okay, cool. These guys were doing this crap too. That's awesome. Mine started with, I was trying to get into some kind of radio type business. I had interviews with ESPN 710. I know you know, pretty sure you know what that is up here in Seattle. Did not get either job. Trying to do something with my broadcasting and do something that's entertaining because I'm an entertainer at heart. Wasn't going to do music anymore because music is just not stable enough for someone like me. I like having a house and a wife and some place to come home to and not live on the road for 6 years out of the month or six, you know, 1,000 days out of the month. And my buddy, Lord Optic, who is my closest friend in real life, was like, hey, have you seen this Twitch TV? It used to be called Justin TV or whatever. And I was like, no, I hadn't heard anything about it. He's like, oh, people play video games and do broadcasting. And there's some really cool, like, shows and stuff on there you can watch. And, you know, you could watch some people play games if you're ever like, oh, I just want to see how this game plays. It's kind of neat. He's like, and heck, you can stream on it too if you ever wanted to. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah, you're looking for something broadcasting. Why don't you check this out? So I hit again with my hemming and hawing. I kind of waffled back and forth about doing something like this because, you know, you're putting a piece of yourself out there and what if nobody likes you and, you know, all the dreaded, you know, I'm going to stand up and do a speech in front of people's stuff go through your head. And I'm not one to shy away from the spotlight. That's kind of my forte. I drama kid and was in plays and again, you know, the band for 12 years. So I've been out there and seen, put myself out there in front of people and gotten decent responses from time to time. And I went, you know what, let's just give this a shot. So I set up my Xbox 360 at the time and my Kinects. And I turned on Titanfall 2 and I just stunk the bed up. I was garbage. And I was trying to see if it was transmitting right. So I was watching like this little Mac laptop that had literally like no battery in it. I had to keep it plugged in just to keep the thing on to see if my transmitting was coming through. And then Lord Optic and I said, let's do something together. And we played Kane and Lynch Dog Days, which is an awful game. Don't ever play that. If you could ever avoid that, I would highly recommend it. And then we started doing Dying Light together because that was actually, we both really enjoyed that. And then it just kind of expanded from there. I moved into an office. I got out of the living room. My wife helped me buy a desk and we set up all the stuff. So I'm still running on the Kinects for a long time. And eventually I just, you know what, I want to make this something legit. And I was taking advice from a lot of other streamers that I had met, got a PC built that I wanted, and then just started adding all the accoutrement. And I'll tell you, my wife is my biggest supporter and cheerleader. And Christmases and birthdays, I'd get new stream gear. I'd get a new mouse. I'd get a new camera. I'd get another monitor. I get panel lighting for everything. You know, and if I couldn't afford it for some reason, she'd put money off to the side and then surprise me with it later. Stream decks, all this stuff. And it just, now it is what it is today. It started out as me leaning a flat screen TV against a wall with either a PSP camera or a Kinects camera and playing Titanfall 2 and Dog Days Kane and Lynch to deciding to get into retro. And then now we're chasing achievements and doing RPGs. And it's been a one heck of a 3-year span. I'll tell you, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. And, you know, as you enjoy the origin stories as well, I certainly do. I think that it's awesome to hear, you know, people have such humble beginnings like yourself and get something started that really fosters a community and, you know, just ultimately adds a lot of content value for people that are trying to watch retro, trying to, you know, watch something a little bit different. I mean, you know, there's the Fortnites and the Call of Duties and like that kind of part of Twitch, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, everybody's got their cup of tea, but I think the retro community has truly gotten such a great boost from people like you, you know, putting their time and effort into a category that, I don't know if I would say it's underlooked, but you know, retro is less popular. It's not getting as many views as these other, you know, giant categories that have entire esports teams dedicated around them and things like that. But it's awesome that, you know, you've been able to grow your stream and been able to kind of foster community along the way is the biggest thing. It's like, you know, you can have a channel and have people that sometimes come in, but when you really have a sense of community and people, that are working with you and you have great moderators, like you said, I know Gall, I've talked to him a decent amount, and he's awesome. I mean, he is such a great, personality. He was great on your guys's, podcast, but also such a great moderator. So knowledgeable and like humble and just an overall, just a great human being. It really makes a world of difference, I think, with your viewers, you know, people like me that, you know, pop in and always feel welcome, whether it's our first time or our 10th time or 100th time. You know, it's just it's a great thing about the retro community. It's, you know, not as big, but it's more
personal,
I guess. Yeah, it's more personal. There's that personal touch, really. Is that's a great way to put it. Kind of talking about your stream a little bit more, this might be a tough one because I know you've had quite a few great moments on your stream from just the different things that you've done, but what would you say is your favorite moment that's happened during one of your streams, if you could come up with a number one?
Oh man, that is a tough one. I've this stream, and I'll just caveat it with this, I guess. This stream has been so much more than I had anticipated, and kind of hanging back on the whole, you know, not playing Fortnite or not playing Call of Duty, which again, I echo you on that. If that's your cup of tea, go for it. And sometimes those things are super fun to watch and they can get really intense. I used to watch a couple people play PlayerUnknown when it first kind of was still in its beta phases. And I'd stress out watching my friends play those games. So there's a lot of call for that. But what makes retro so good, in my opinion, and I'm sure a lot of people share this opinion, is the community in itself. I mean, we all go to one another's streams. We all support one another. And you always feel welcome in everybody's stream. You go into Frank's stream. He stops what he's doing. Hello, what's going on? Max's stream. Max could be wanting to punch his computer out with playing some really super tough, difficult achievement. He'll still say, what up, Chard? You know, what up, Shootsy? What up, guys? How you doing? Even though he looks angry, he still acknowledges, you know, you're there. And that's something I've always liked about this community, is that you're acknowledged when you come into Bud's stream or you come into, you know, any of the retro streamers' streams, Sarconius' stream. They all recognize you and acknowledge your existence. And I think that's what brings a lot of people back. And I think going back to that, my favorite thing that has happened on my stream is that I have had reoccurring people that I have talked to and acknowledged that just bring their friends with them and come back in. And I have a community I never thought that I could ever garner in a platform like this. And I never thought in my wildest dreams that I would be sitting in front of my computer playing games, you know, because I do that anyways on my own time for 4 hours a day. And someone would give enough of a crap to come back and hang out with me while I do it on their computer, not in my room, not on my bed, not in a chair, but on their computer in their house with their stuff, with their lives going on and whatever's going on back there. They still want to come here and hang out with me and watch me grind Dragon Warrior for 3 hours. You know, it's that has got to be my favorite thing about it. I know you want me to find like a memory of like badging Castlevania for my first badge ever, or beating Final Fantasy I for the NES my first time, you know, killing Chaos the first time ever. And I never did it as a kid. But my favorite thing is what we've cultivated as a group of people. It's not just me. I got a lot of this from a lot of other streamers, is what we've created as a group. And middle-aged streamer is the same way. He's a big name. Moss is a pretty big name in the thing. And he still says hi to you. He'll have 123 people there. Ash said hi. It's in her name. She'll have 200 people there, and she will still say hello to you. This is what I like about the retro community, and my favorite thing about it is that we all still hang out with one another. Nobody is too big for themselves. Nobody shuns you off, and you are always welcome every time you pop in. And I think that is my favorite thing about what my stream and the retro community has done.
Yeah, no, and I you know, again, there are no right or wrong answers. Obviously, I like to poke at people and ask some of the tougher questions, but I think that's a great answer. I mean, you know, like you said, there's just that personal touch that you have in retro streams that you really, I mean, even with like, I've been looking at some people that are partnered, you know, they're not doing retro achievements necessarily, but they're still a partnered person that focuses on retro, and they're always like very good at responding to chat, you know, even when they have 100-something-odd people watching, which is kind of, I mean, I will say I run a really, really small stream. It's been a while since I streamed, but, you know, it's tough for me to keep up with chat sometimes, but I feel like, you know, having those conversations with people and having that common interest is a really big thing that makes this community stand out from just about any other community on Twitch, because, you know, like you said, there's just that, you know, that familiar relationship that you build with people, and we all have this common interest, and certainly other communities do have that too, but there's just something about the retro community that's got such a great vibe to it. I think that's why, I mean, I've stuck around as long as I have, is not only for the love of retro games, but the love of, you know, making some really good friends that I've been friends with for actually years now on retro achievements. I mean, I just hit 4 years on the site being a member. I mean, there's a few people that I've talked to for years and years, and we've just hung out and really gotten to, like you said, build that community and get to know one another really well. So, you came from pretty humble beginnings. Like you said, you started out, you know, kind of just having a real basic setup and then moving on to what you have today with a desk and a room set up for that. So for people that are kind of a little bit newer into streaming or want to get into it but aren't really sure how they could get started, what advice would you have for them, maybe, Chard?
I actually have a friend of mine that wants to get into streaming, and I tell him this all the time, so I'll tell the RA world and everyone else listening. You do not have to have the highest quality gear, the best looking stuff, the nicest overlays, the sound effects. You don't have to have any of those bells and whistles to do this. All you need, you don't even have to have a face cam to do this. Late Night Retro is one of my favorite. He's partnered, and he has, I've barely ever seen what the man looks like. And he is very successful at it. Also another excellent retro streamer that also acknowledges people when you come and hang out with him. Little quiet shout out there to Eleanor. You don't have to have everything to do this. And the people that think they need a 3080, you know, ATI or a super fast processor or dual screens or what, or a PS5, you don't need any of that. All you need is a willingness to try and to not give up when it isn't what you thought it was when you first start, because you're not going to get 50 people when you first turn on your thing. You might get that, and if you do, awesome, that's amazing, but most of us won't. And you'll be streaming to your mother, who, my mom does watch my streams from time to time, you'll be streaming to your mom or your girlfriend or wife or boyfriend or brother or sister or whatever, but then it'll start to trickle in slowly, and then it'll start to trickle in faster, And then the next thing you know, you're playing Symphony of the Night, 200% badging with a bunch of people rooting for you to get an achievement done on your brand new computer that you saved up for because you decided this is what you want to do. Give it a shot with whatever you have lined up for you. Bad lighting doesn't matter. Does not matter what it looks like when it starts, because chances are it's not going to look very good. It never does. But keep going. And if you really, truly feel like this is something that you could do for yourself to make yourself happy, don't make it a job. Make it fun, because you probably already have a job and not everybody likes to go to their day to day. But if you can make this something fun and a release for you, or something that makes you feel good about yourself and makes people feel good about themselves, then keep going and add little pieces at a time. Add a computer, add a lighting kit, add a face cam, add a separate microphone, a mouse pad, whatever. But you do not have to have all that stuff to start out what you're doing. All you need is you and the willingness to do it. And obviously some way to stream it, some kind of platform, and that's it. That's it. And you can do all of that stuff for, God, $20 to start, and then just build on it from there. And I think you'd be really surprised at how these things can pick up after, you know, a couple days, a couple weeks of doing it. So my advice is just be yourself. Don't be anybody else. Don't try to be anybody else. Don't get jealous of your friends. Don't compare yourself to anybody. I know Bud said the same thing, but that rings a lot of truth. Don't compare yourself to Bud Cave TV or Charred Monk or Ash Says Hi or, you know, Not Enough Credits. Don't compare yourself to those people. Just be you. Be who you think you should be, and it will turn into what you create, what you cultivate. And that's it. I mean, take ideas. Obviously, you can... not all my stuff's original. I'm not going to lie here, but I didn't have that when I started, and I slowly built upon that, and I got ideas from other streamers, and I used them, and now we use them quite regularly, and it's become kind of a staple. I didn't even play RPGs until maybe a year and a half in is when I decided I was going to be the RPG guy. That was not even my basis. That was totally going to be, you know, I was going to play all the player unknowns and the, you know, what's the H1Z1s. I was going to do all that stuff because that's all I watched, because that's what everybody that I liked hanging out with was playing. But I'm trash at first person shooters. I'm not good at Fortnite. It's not entertaining to watch me play Fortnite. I'm terrible at it. So you may not even be doing the same thing you started doing a year in. You might be doing something totally different, in which case, then you'll find a community and you'll breed from there and go from there. So just be yourself and find something that you like to do, because this is for you. It's not for them. It's for you. So make it what you want it to be. And then eventually those people that go, hey, this is for me too, will start coming around. And then that's how you build a community.
Yeah, no, I think that's honestly great advice, because, you know, one of the great things about retro specifically is just that, I mean, these games, you know, with the amount of technology that we have, can run on such a basic bare bones system that, you know, you can set your bit rate real low, even if you're not on a great computer, and you can put some kind of broadcast out to the world. And, you know, like you said, the quality might not be all there at the start, but when you're streaming retro games, they don't have a real high requirement for the amount of power that you need to run them, you know, CPU and GPU wise. Like, they're very basic games, so they're not that hard to stream, and you can stream them in a low bit rate if you don't even have great upload speed on your internet, and you can put out something to the world. And I think also just the piece of advice that, you know, people think it's cliche, but have fun with it, because chances are, like you said, you've probably already got a job. You probably are probably going somewhere, you know, Monday through Friday or whatever you're doing. You probably already got a job. So if you're going to do this, don't do it, you know, don't do it for monetary gain. Do it because, you know, it's something that you enjoy doing and you like sharing your adventures with people, or you just enjoy streaming. But that's a really, really good way to put it, is you probably already got a job. So you should at least have fun with your stream and treat it that way. And if, you know, you gain some income from it down the road at some point, that's awesome. You know, that's the dream for a lot of people, but just keep it simple and just enjoy what you do. Cause there are people that are workaholics and they love working nonstop, but even those people need a break once in a while to kind of recharge and do something to kind of, you know, come back to the center and collect themselves. So I think that's really good advice, especially because I'm still a really small streamer. And one of the reasons I started doing it is just because I liked sharing my adventures with people. And I liked, you know, being able to do little cool highlights of when I would get a damage list or a death list, and being able to have that moment recorded and to just, you know, again, be able to share retro adventures with other people and not just be behind the profile the whole time.
Right.
So that's taken some time for me to get kind of get into it. But, you know, I did for a while, and right now I'm on a little bit of a hiatus as well. But hopefully once things turn around here with everything I've got going on in my personal life, just kind of busy, hopefully I can get back into that, because I really do miss streaming. You know, having this conversation with you about just everything we've talked about with streaming and fostering that community kind of makes me think about the small community of people that I hang out with that I really enjoy streaming and hanging out with them. And hopefully I'm able to kind of put that a little bit more on priority here for the future, but you never know. So last question I have for you, because we always like a good origin story about the person, but also their name, is how did you come up with your name, Chardmonk?
This is the shortest. This will be the shortest origin name story you may have gotten on this stream or on this podcast. When I was in high school, we had a friend that would just name people wacky names for no particular reason. He used to call his brother Mughead. We had someone named Floppy for no reason. And he just looked at me one day and it was Chardmonk, and it stuck. And people were calling me Monk and, you know, Chardy and Chardmonk and all this stuff. And it kind of stuck. Now there's a correlation to Chardmonk. I won't dox myself, but if you know who I am, you know the correlation between, you know, Chardmonk. But there's always like you know, there's a Bill 24483 out there. There's a Joshua 83999. I didn't want any numbers in my names unless I was trying to be clever with it and do, like, you know, leet speak or something dumb like that when I was getting into it. And there's not a lot of Chardmonks out there. Actually, I'm the only one. So I went with it. I took my high school nickname and I turned it into my stream nickname, because I think it, not only is it mine and I respond to it well, but it stands out, I think, amongst a crowd of people. And when you get mail from your friends that says Chardmonk on it, you know it's going to you and not somebody else. So that's basically where it came from. It was just a silly high school nickname that was derived from somebody just blurting it out, and I ran with it, and it's made history in the Twitch era, I guess you could say.
Gotcha. Well, actually, it's funny, because, you know, you say that's one of the shortest stories we've had about names, but everyone always has kind of like a, like my name, for example, has like a pretty, it's just a name I went by for a long time when I played WoW. Kind of a boring old story, but that's actually kind of an interesting story that you have, is something that came from, you know, real life of just some guy that was calling everybody nicknames and that just stuck with you. Because a lot of people, it's just like, this is just the name I've used forever across, you know, a bunch of different platforms and things like that. That's kind of how my name came about. Mm-hmm. I'm not calling myself boring, but I do like a good origin story about the name as well. So kind of wrapping things up here. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast today, Chard. It's really good to have you here, and just wanted to kind of get your thoughts. Maybe you had some final thoughts or comments that you'd like to share with whoever's listening out in the world.
I'm flattered that I was even considered to do RA. I may be one of your least competitive / least, this is going to sound bad, but I don't want to say not driven, but RA is a bonus for me to chase things and improve myself as a streamer and a gamer. But it's not something that I'm like, I wake up every morning going, what badge am I going to get today? You know, it's more or less like, what game can I play that we can add a little interesting spin to through RA? You know what I mean? So even being considered to come on and be talked to by you, Shootsy, and the rest of the RA people is very humbling for me. I've just started. Maybe I'm only maybe a year old into my RA badge chasing it and all that stuff. So I want to thank you for even considering talking with me and having this conversation. This has been excellent. I've had a lot of fun today. I was looking at the time going, wow, it's already that we've already been on that long. Doesn't feel like it. I feel like we've just been BSing with each other and having a drink and just talking about all the stuff that we like about this. And man, this has been a lot of fun. So thank you. I mean, as for closing arguments, like we're in court, for closing statements, anybody that looks at RA and goes, I don't know. I was that person. I was that person that would see all my favorite streamers doing these crazy retro achievement things, and I just shun it off. Nah, that's not for me. I don't want to do that. And they would entice me. There was no like, you're an idiot if you do this. It's always very much like, you know, it's a lot of fun. You should give it a shot. Nah, I don't want to make the argument. This is always the statement, and I quote this. I don't want to make RA not make me like my favorite game. And it doesn't happen. I can tell you that from somebody who came knowing nothing about retro achievements, someone that didn't actively chase achievements in PlayStation 4 or Xbox or any of that stuff. I was never active about that except for a very small percentage of games that we did this with. And I know Frank came on when Frank was doing his episode. He said, you know, he chased achievements and all that stuff. So he's on the one side of the spectrum. And of course, Max is the king of RA. So he's on the way far end of the spectrum. I'm very much on the bottom end of the spectrum of, I just wanted to play the game and have fun doing it. So I thought retro achievements would not make it fun for me anymore. Doing the same thing over and over again, watching people take one hit from a boss and then hit restart and have to go back and do it again. But it's not about that. It is definitely about a whole new way of looking at how you would approach something that you've possibly approached 800 times. You know, if it's your favorite game out there, and I'll take Chrono Trigger, for example, because it's one of my favorites. I had always done everything in Chrono Trigger you can do in the game, like that the game allowed you to do. And I've only seen the one major final ending of like getting everything accomplished. But I didn't, and I knew that there was extra innings in there, but I just never thought to chase them until Bud Cave TVs decided he was going to start getting the badge for it. And I went, well, heck, I should get it too. That's also one of my favorite games. We'll kind of do it together and chase it together. And man, I played all 13 endings. I went through numerous runs of grinding on the conveyor belt in Geno Dome, probably for about an hour and 45 minutes, maybe 2 hours. Thank you, by the way, whoever invented fast forward on RetroArch, thank you for that, by the way. And now I love it. And now, like I said at the beginning, I'm playing a game that doesn't have a set, and it's really bizarre to me to not at least be attempting to get some kind of badge into it. So even if you have like the slightest inkling of stepping up what you're doing and making your game play like it's never played before, I sound like a Nintendo ad right now. Try RA. Give it a shot. Try something. Play Sonic 1. Wasn't that the first game that ever got like a set on RA or anything like that? Is that
I'm not sure. I could probably comb through some date stamps. I should know better, being that I've been on the site for a long time, but I'd imagine it's probably one of the very early sets.
I mean, and that's like you said, there's complete the stages, right? It's a simple linear playthrough, and then there's some added stuff of, you know, get through the first Green Hill Zone with under 1,000 points, which is a super big challenge, but it's not impossible. I badged Sonic, and I'm no pro, and I'm not good at platformers, but we badged Sonic in 8 hours playing that. And that was a lot of fun. Wow. So try something that's not daunting. Don't take on Symphony of the Night. Don't take on Legend of Dragoon. Don't take on something. Don't, what is it? Wild Arms that has like 200 or something points and achievements for it. Don't take on anything that's like, don't bite off more than you can chew to start. But take your favorite game, whatever it is, see if it has a badge, because most likely it will. And then try and do what they tell you to do. And once you start getting those achievements rolling in, your eyes are going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until you see that 200% badge on your RA page. And then you just stare at it like, holy crap, I can't believe I did that. And then you're lost to RA forever. You're done. You'll never play another game without a set on it ever again. Unless you're me and you could kind of be like, oh, this is really odd, but I'm going to do it anyways. It feels like you're cheating on someone when you're playing a game that doesn't have a badge attached to it. To be completely honest with you.
Like, that is,
I hope no one's watching me play this game because it doesn't have a badge and I'm not trying anything for it. But, you know.
No, that's actually a really good way to put it, though.
It's fun, yeah. And I 100% say everybody at least try it once, and try and get a new perspective on the games you've grown up playing, whether it be RPG, platform, puzzle, pinball, pachinko. It doesn't matter. There's probably a badge out there for you, and give it a whirl and see what you think.
Yeah, I mean that's how I started out on retro achievements, is playing the games that I loved so much growing up for Game Boy, and that's why like a lot of my early masteries are Game Boy games, is because I hadn't, you know, dived into the Game Boy collection when I was brand new. I was just I started with like the Final Fantasies for Game Boy and the Marios, just all the classics and Donkey Kong and all that, and really got a lot into it. So yeah, I mean, that's great advice, is find a game you really, you know, if you're new to the site, find a game that you really like and probably start there, because that'll give you the most appreciation for the title and getting to play it in a different way that you've never played it before. So Chart, again, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We really appreciate it. To the people at home, thank you for listening to the RA podcast. If you like today's episode, don't forget to like the video and hit the bell to be notified when our future episodes go live. Be sure to let us know in the comments what other guests that you would also like to see featured on the RA podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.